Hello and welcome to the Albion Obsessed podcast. The football may be finished for the moment, but we're still here delivering you what we hope to be high quality content. That remains to be seen. But we'll see who we've got on the show today. We welcome Joe. Joe, my friend, how are you keeping?
Hello, Tom. Season three we're going into now. I'm going to label this one as the first episode of season three. And we're going to start it with a guest as well. So we're getting off to a great start. But yeah, good, Tom. And as you say, we are here to stay. And we're going to bless your ears throughout the summer, throughout off season. So you are welcome.
You lucky, lucky, lucky people. We also welcome Curtis. Curtis, my friend, how are you doing?
I am very, very good. Very warm, as is everyone. So it's broken record, that whole thing. But I'm very, very happy to be here with you chaps and looking forward to another great conversation.
Let's have it. So we also welcome our guest. Our guest today is Harry, the proprietor of One Klopp Shop. Harry, thank you so much for giving up some time this evening to talk to us. How are you, my friend?
I'm good. As Kurt said, very hot. And I'm a fairly severe sufferer of hay fever, so I haven't left the house much in the last week. So this feels like a social event, actually.
I feel your pain, brother. I feel your pain. The hay fever hit me hard today. So, let's make this chill and having a nice conversation. Now, Harry, whenever we get a guest on the show, we like to ask them a couple of questions just to sort of like round, get to know them a bit better. So the first question I'm going to ask you, Harry, is when was your first Brighton and Hove Albion game?
So I'm going to have to guess a little bit because I don't know the exact game. I imagine it would have been either the 2004-05 or 2005-06 at the Withdean. My dad was a Brighton fan growing up, but I think when I was really young, he wasn't so into it. So I didn't go much as a kid. And actually, my mum's family are all Arsenal fans. So it was quite sporadic when I got to go to Brighton. I actually went to Arsenal more as a kid. But I imagine either 2004-05, I feel like I saw us playing Doncaster. But then, yeah, I can remember bits and pieces. But I remember the second season I went, we got relegated from the Championship. I think that was 05-06. So yeah, one of those 2 years at the Withdean. An awful stadium. So that was my earliest memory.
Tom, have I
said something? Is that wrong?
No, it's not.
I love that stadium.
He's just got a lot of emotional connections to it.
It was a shithole, but it was our shithole.
Exactly. <Yeah. laughs> The second question, something that you might not have to guess, but it might be a hard one. Because for me, it's like choosing your favourite child. What is your favourite Brighton and Hove Albion football shirt?
Well, I came prepared for this one, so I don't know how much you're going to be able
good
to see.
Good man. We like guests like this. Good man. Right.
This here is... So this was found on Facebook Marketplace, but I believe it was in the 11-12 or 09-10 season. We played Dagenham and Redbridge in a league game, but we didn't have a kit that didn't clash with them. So they produced a set of one-off kits, which were all white, to play against them. So they were never commercially released. It was only enough for the squad made. And this one was worn by Glenn Murray and signed by him. And he scored the winning goal in the game. So not a difficult decision for me. And what makes it better is it cost me £35 on Facebook.
Joe, Tom, you got that bloody shirt, do you? Huh?
Not that particular one, no. I think that was from a season where... correct me if I'm wrong, gents, that I think we did that a couple of times because we ended up wearing Leicester's away shirt in that season as well. You'd think it happening a couple of times, you'd think the club would have got their act together.
Yeah.
Which Tom actually bought the Leicester away shirt
got the Leicester away shirt. It cost me a tenner. So I was like, you know, I've got to add it to the collection because it is a piece of heritage. What is it the kids say? The streets will never forget.
Agreed. But I would also say this is a close second. So this is, as you can see by the shirt, is the 99-02 away shirt. However, this was worn for a one-off charity game with this sponsor. My head teacher at primary school was actually Joel Lynch's dad. And basically, I was a little bit badly behaved and went on a sort of behaviour report. And my reward for being well-behaved was this match-worn Joel Lynch sort of one-off charity shop. And this is the first time I've worn it, I think, and it actually fits now. When I got it, it was a dress that sort of seven-year-old me would wear around the house.
I rate that. I rate that very highly. What a story to tell. What a story to tell. Over to you, Curtis.
I can't remember the next question. What's the next question? Play we can edit them. This out, obviously. Oh,
no, we won't edit this out. Fine.
As you can tell, Harry, we all run a very
consummate professionals. So, Harry, my dear, who's your favourite Brighton Hove Albion player?
Current or ever?
Past or present?
Hard to say because it's different reasons. Depends on the reasoning from all of them. Currently, for me, it's Pascal Gross. I think just for what he's done for the club in the last few years, the cost, like, just the best pound-for-pound value player I think we've ever had him that I remember. And then one of my favourite ever players is probably not one you're expecting to say, and I don't actually really know why. It's, again, fairly recent one, but Davey Proper. There was something about him I felt he's really underappreciated. He used to play in the 10 for the national team of Holland, and I just think we never saw the real true potential that he actually could have had as a player. But yeah, he was one that I really loved.
Interesting choices. But I definitely agree in regards to Davey Proper because, yeah, you're right. We played him in such a different position to the national team. And it does make you sort of think, what if? I always think that about Ali Reza Yahambac.
Yeah.
What if we were playing him as an actual winger instead of either as like a wing back or attempting to play him as a 10? Yeah. But yeah,
these plays under De Zerbi would be interesting. That'd be an interesting thing to see.
Yeah, for sure. And then there's one other actually now I was thinking about it, and another one that sadly it just didn't work out the way I expected, and that would be Rohan Ince. I thought for half a season he was unplayable.
Yeah.
His goal against Swindon in the cup, who he actually went on to win. I feel like he played a period for Swindon where he won man of the match for something like 15 games in a row. But his goal in the FA Cup against Swindon is my favourite ever Brighton Hove Albion goal. And yeah, it's a real shame that it didn't work out for him in the way I thought it might.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I remember when obviously Liam Bridcut left, it was that situation, a bit sort of like where we're at now. Oh God, what if Caicedo goes? How are we ever going to replace him? And then Rohan Ince rocked up and he was an absolute monster. He was like Bambi on ice because he was so gangly and like he would make mistake. He'd just pick up the ball anyway. It was brilliant to watch.
When we played Arsenal in the FA Cup when Chris Hughton took over, I think it was, and he had Alexis Sanchez in a headlock down by the southwest corner. That was hilarious. That was iconic. I used to sit there for ages. So maybe we ran past each other a few times. I was sort of down, sort of nearer to the West End, row B. You might have been further back. But yeah, good times down there.
Interesting indeed. Now, Harry, before we get on to talk about shirts, which trust me, me and Joe are really excited about because we love shirts. I'd just love to pick your brain about what you've made of this season, because it has been such a monumental season, but it's also been a season where so much has happened. If you like cast your mind back to the summer, starting under Graham Potter, loads of players leaving in the summer, Graham Potter leaving, Leandro Trossard leaving, Roberto De Zerbi coming in, the push for Europe. It's been a mad one. But what have you made of it?
Well, like you say, it has been mad. And I think, not really sure if I can put into words what I make it as a whole, but I feel I might have been in a minority of when Potter left. I wasn't as angry as a lot of people. Like, it was obviously was gutting that he left when he did and in the nature he did, but at the same time he was offered £20 million and to manage one of the biggest clubs in the world. Like, I can't really, like, people were so angry, and I think that was something that I think it made it easier with the rest of the season to not get down at that point. So yeah, it was a shame, but yeah, I didn't feel the anger. And I remember when we played Chelsea at home in that win, and before the game, I was on the way and everyone was like, you're going to boo him. I was like, nah, I won't boo him. Won't boo Cucurella. First time I got in the stadium, people booing. I couldn't help myself, just got sucked into it. So yeah, I think that was the... And I don't know, I trusted that we'd get people in. I didn't expect it, obviously, to go as well as it did with De Zerbi. I didn't expect us to get someone who was sort of everything Potter was with the bits that were missing. Because I think that's another thing. People still now are not giving credit to Potter for allowing De Zerbi to do what he's done. Like, people, like, rightfully giving De Zerbi a lot of credit. But De Zerbi himself has said that he wouldn't have done what he's done without Potter's groundwork. So, no, it's been remarkable. I remember some points of the season just sitting in the Amex, just sort of laughing at how, you know, you're beating these, you know, beating United, beating Chelsea, have 4-1, whatever it was. Just like, just almost in disbelief at some of the football we've seen. And I think more than the achievement of Europe and that is actually we have played, for me personally, other than City when they're good, the best football in the country for a whole year. And that is something that when we were conceding off at every corner, we won for ourselves and sort of, you know, we'd win a free kick on the edge of the box, being worried about the other team scoring 4 or 5 years ago to where we are now. It's pretty remarkable.
Yeah,
just the memories.
Thanks for bringing that up, Harry. Yeah.
just the memories of that Chelsea game, the atmosphere there, how electric that was. It was incredible. One of the most amazing things I've seen, actually. What a game that was. What a game.
Yeah, it's got to be up there with one of the performances of the season, hasn't it? That and probably the Manchester City game at home, where, you know, injury-stricken, fatigued, we put, you know, the treble, were the, well, they did go on to win the treble. We put them to the sword and, you know, I think, what was it, Ten Hag after the FA Cup game was like, oh, not many people can peg back Man City. And we're like,
B team, Ken.
The bullet from Enciso, yeah.
Julio. So I'm glad we got your thoughts on the season. Let's talk football shirts then, because that is your job. You run One Klopp Shop. So talk to us, Harry, about how that came about. How did that all begin for you?
Unsurprisingly, COVID-19. So I started, sort of, I had a lot of spare time. I did actually work through COVID, but I worked at Brighton College, and it was right by where I was living at the time. So I was there a little bit, but I spent a lot of time at home with disposable income because we weren't going out, and started buying a few shirts. Wasn't really particularly picky about what I bought, just like, and then after a few months, my girlfriend at the time was like, you need to stop spending so much money on football shirts, which is understandable. So I decided to buy a few with the intention of selling them on. And actually, I believe in 6 days, it will be exactly 3 years since I posted my first post on Instagram, which was sort of a really rubbish photo of 12 shirts folded up on my carpet in my old flat, and listed them on Depop. And now it's 3 years on from that, and I've probably sold over 2,000 shirts, sold to 50 different countries around the world. I've grown a collection to 200 shirts, maybe more, back down to about 20 shirts now, because the collecting days are, they're not over, but I'm much more selective. It's mostly match worn or match issue or rare or specific shirts. And yeah, like you say, currently it is my job. That's not going to be for long. I do need to find full-time work, but I left my last job in December and went traveling for a bit, and yeah, came back, and has been enough to sustain me for the last few months. So yeah, and yeah, it's all run out of my house, sort of. I'd started 3 years ago with no knowledge, no source, no way of getting this stuff. And yeah, now I'm selling 50 to 100 shirts a month. So yes.
The burning question I have, and I've been wanting to ask this for a while, even on Twitter, like when I see your posts, why One Klopp? Why the word Klopp in there?
Sadly, there's no interesting story. I needed a name for a store for football shirts. Someone said One Klopp Shop, like One Stop Shop. Did it about a year or so in, I sort of considered changing it because everyone thought I was a Liverpool fan, but by that point I'd sort of established a bit of a following. People knew the name and the logo, so I just left it, and now it's one of those things. Like, most people now know I'm a Brighton fan because there's not loads of Brighton collectors, and in the Rare Vallecano thing as well, there's almost no Rare Vallecano fans and collectors in the shirt scene. So it was sort of one of those things. I just needed something at the time, and then it stuck.
I actually only worked out that you were a Brighton fan because you were You were looking for like Brighton training gear a while back, and then I started to put pieces together. I saw you comment on a post, and I was like, Detective Curtis. And then that's when I reached out. I was like, you're a Brighton fan, right?
Yeah.
But I actually have an interesting question to follow on from this shirt thing. What is the most interesting piece you've come across in this line of work so far?
So there's a couple. I'd say the most interesting and the one that in turn made the most money was, so I also not own, but I created a group called Full Kit Wankers. I don't know if we can swear on the podcast, but FKW if you need to edit it. It's now the biggest selling page on Facebook for football shirts. And what also one of the perks of owning this is any post that gets sent to it, we have to approve. So it all goes into like a, and every now and then you see something's a good deal, you'll buy it because, you know, it's one of the perks of owning the page. I saw someone post an Arsenal shirt for £35 listed as what they thought might be fake. And it was, if you remember, 2001-02, they had Sega. But the shirt was all white, long sleeve, with Bergkamp on the back. And I just thought it was interesting. Didn't know what it was, but I was like, I'm willing to risk a small amount to find out. Bought it. Contacted a few Arsenal fans, and it turns out it was a one-off prototype created for potentially be their Champions League shirt. There was 30 or so made, but basically the Arsenal fans said it was too Tottenham because it was all white. So they never used it, and in turn became a collector's item. And I sold it for, I think at the time, about £700 or £800 to an Arsenal collector that had two or three other ones. So that was one of the most interesting pieces. And then I'd say, other than that, I don't know, you guys, you say you're in shirts, you might have seen it. In 2018, China had a shirt that the Chinese government banned that was all black with the dragon across. I sold to one of the ones that only, I don't generally regret letting shirts go, but I had two of those, both still with the original tags, and let both of those go a couple years ago. And they were pretty cool pieces and unlikely to come up again. So I'd say those are the two that stick out the most.
You mentioned fakes. In that little bit there. And it's something that I'm very wary of on the football market, especially when I'm branching out now and I want to sort of buy other club shirts, not just Brighton shirts. And the clubs I'm going for are like Barcelona and Real Madrid, the basically fake city, right? You're going to get loads of fake Barca shirts. What's the one bit of advice you would give to someone to avoid fakes?
So basically, post 2004 for Adidas and Nike is easy. They're all Adidas and Nike products post 2004. Adidas is more post 2000, but Nike is easier to do after 2006 onwards, I think. They all have a product code in the shirt. 99% of the time, if you search that product code on Google and loads of the shirt that you have come up, you're okay. There are exceptions, but it's extremely rare. Like, I think I've had one fake with a correct product code in the last 3 years, and that was someone who had stitched in a real code to a fake shirt, which is just a ridiculous thing to do and doesn't happen. It's not something you need to worry about. And the other thing is, use tools, use Twitter, people like myself. There's a group on Facebook, which I'm an admin in, which is called Football Shirt Authenticity Group. There's a lot of people in there that don't know what they're talking about, but there's also a lot of people that really know their stuff. I use it. I have stuff sometimes that I don't know for sure is real or could be potentially match or player spec. I will use that group because there's people all over the world who have better knowledge. Or if it's an unusual producer, for instance, like a lot of the South American stuff is produced by companies, Topper, and I don't know these as well. So there is people there who answer. So just ask. Just ask is my biggest advice.
Decent. If it's not too much of a crude question, Harry, what is the most valuable or most expensive shirt you've shifted on?
That Arsenal one, I think I've sold a couple Sheffield United shirts from the 80s for between 500 and a grand. But I'll tell you a story, not me, but someone I know. I'm not going to tell you who or what the shirt was, but they bought a Manchester United shirt. Newton Heath from 92-93 away shirt, the green and yellow half and half. They bought it on eBay for £375. It was just listed as a replica. He knew it was a match shirt. He put it back on auction on eBay and it sold for just under £8,500.
Blimey. Yeah, That's mad. And that shows, you know, what a good eye you can have. And there are definite deals to be done out there. Yeah. I think
the most impressive one I've ever done was I went on Vinted, and this must have been like a person selling it because they'd maybe broken up with someone and was shifting all their stuff, because it was a £5 England shirt, David Beckham on the back, fully authentic. I bought it. I looked it up on Classic Football Shirts, and they're going for like £75 on there. I'm like, that's a huge win. Vinted is the place to go for like bigger shirts, like England shirts and that, because I picked a few of them up on there for like £15. And like, as I say, Classic Football Shirts are trying to sell them for £60.
Yeah, so let's look at that football shirt market then. That's a really nice segue, Joe, because the football shirt market, Harry, has gone, in my opinion, since I've been collecting, has just seemed to kind of, it does go in waves, but at the moment it seems to be sort of just exploding. What do you put that down to? Is there anything significant happening in the market, in the scene at the moment, or is it just a case of the ebbs and flows you get with almost any market on the planet?
I think it's an interesting question, and the honest answer is I don't know. And the weirdest thing about it actually is that, yes, the market, I think, in general, has taken this shift up. But then there's some stuff that has really shifted down. Like one example I can give you is a Germany 94 shirt with the sort of like triangular pattern, all white with like the German colours of all the... When I first started selling about 3 years ago, they were sort of £100 to £120. Like, you know, you can buy one of those now in pretty good condition and a good size for £60 or £70, which doesn't really make any sense. There isn't, you know, they're not being produced now. They're not being, like, there's not like a warehouse full of them. But then you look at Brighton, for obvious reasons, Brighton market has gone completely berserk. Like, vintage Brighton shirts now, you cannot get good deals, really. I sold off a bunch of my collection this year, and compared to what I paid even 2 years ago to now, is absurd, the rise. So I think a lot of it's down to lockdown had a big effect. People got into football shirts. I think this whole sort of bloke core fashion thing is part of it, with you see these fashion TikTokers and models and stuff, they're wearing football shirts. So I think that has an effect. And even footballers, Australian footballer, Jackson Irvine, who plays for St. Pauli, I believe, he's been really sort of pushing the retro stuff, and clubs doing the retro releases of, I think Man United are quite big on it. I think that sort of has pushed people to then get into actual retro market. So I think it is sort of like a trend thing, but the pricing of it is the bit I don't understand, because, like I say, some stuff's gone up and some stuff is getting cheaper. But the one thing I do think will happen is that the stuff that's being released now in 20 years is not going to have value like the stuff from the 90s. It's just so mass-produced. It's so poorly made. It's not going to survive, for one, in the same way. And there just won't be that desirability. They don't look as nice. Like, the materials isn't... You know, you don't have the big collars. You don't have the sort of details embedded into the shirt. So I think a lot of these people buying loads of shirts now, yeah, I'll sit on it for 20 years, is not going to work in that way.
I think you're spot on there, mate. The two shirts I've got behind me are from the late 1970s, and there are obviously signs of wear. This one's match worn as well, so it is going to be have that wear to it. But even this one...
Flex. I'm joking.
But like, apart from like the club crest, it's the condition is immaculate. If I say so myself, they are in really good nick. I can't imagine our current Nike shirts lasting anywhere near as long. What we're talking
about, especially the home shirt, the threat that was poorly made. You saw so many people complaining about the quality of that. So
last season's away shirt was worse for that. Like my badge is like half threaded out.
But there's the thing with Brighton shirts that is interesting that you may not know about if you're not, because it's fairly niche knowledge. We are one of the few Prem clubs that do not have player spec shirts for the players. They don't. What you buy in the store is exactly what the players will wear on the pitch. The second thing, a lot of the time, Brighton shirts are bought as templates. So if you go and search the product code inside a Brighton shirt, it will not show you a Brighton shirt online. It will probably show you just a plain template that the club has bought and then had done up themselves. So a lot of the quality things you talk about is probably because the club is cutting corners to, you know, reduce the costs. Also, our club doesn't do end of season sale, really. Last season, I waited all year to get shirts. Didn't happen. So I do think there is something to be said for depends on the club about how long, you know, if you buy the match spec shirts that you can from Barcelona, Madrid, all of these teams, they may last better. But yeah, the Brighton ones, they're not good quality.
Do you think that, and this might be a complete long shot, but do you think that now we're in Europe that Nike are going to give us that player spec? Or do you think it's just going to be bog standard what we've been having for the last 6-7 years with Nike?
I actually don't know. And the weird thing is that I know that even if... Because this is one of the reasons the match worn market is so super complicated. Because I don't know if it's whether they have to have them, which I don't think it is, and I'll tell you why in a minute. But I also don't know if it's just the club's choice. The club just might say, it's not something we feel the need to invest in. The players don't need it. But it's definitely not required because Liverpool always have match shirts. And I remember reading that Jordan Henderson has always chosen to wear a store shirt. He prefers the fit of the fan version. So you're not required to have them. The only thing I think... Because Nike can sell the shirts themselves, not just Brighton. So it's possible that Nike may say they want to have, you know, with Brighton's fan base getting bigger and more international, they may want to have both versions available. And I think it would be cool to see. But honestly, I don't know. I think if it was down to Bloom and Bob, probably not.
I think it's something that they've got to be super conscious of, especially now we've got like the South American fan base, the Japanese fan base coming in. Like, I've spoken to so many Japanese fans in the club store this season saying, where can I buy a home shirt? You've got one on. Like, I was getting mine printed tail end of last season, and they thought I'd bought it new, and they were like, because I bought it in August.
Yeah.
They're like, where can I buy these? And like, the stock goes so rapidly, even with our training stuff. Like,
ain't that the truth?
So many Brighton fans are like me, extra large in size, and that size is gone within seconds. And it's like, you can't wait until you get paid. You can't sort of save your money up and think, oh, I'm gonna buy a Brighton shirt, because they're gone.
The scalpers as well, though, like, you see these shirts go up immediately. Like, I'll give you an example, the brand new Wrexham home kits up on eBay are like £180, like, straight off, and it's bloody stupid. It's so ridiculous.
Yeah, so that it's that mass production, as you was talking about, Harry, that when there is mass produced, like a City shirt, like a Chelsea shirt, you'll not necessarily have this problem. But now we're getting this fan base, it can't keep up with the manufacturing.
Yeah, it's not a sustainable model. And it's like you say, Harry, I did exactly the same thing as you when we had the cursed yellow shirt. I was waiting and waiting and waiting for it to go in the end of season sale. And then I was like, is it coming out? And then I went into the store and they'd all gone. And then I asked the person, I was like, have you got any left, any out the back? And he was like, no, they're all gone.
Well, I actually happen to know that they do always have loads. And the reason they don't do an end of season sale is because everything that's left, they ship off to schools in Africa, actually. So we, as much as it's gutting for the fans, fairly commendable of the club that they do. Because I contacted them once trying to get a goalkeeper shirt at the end of the season. And they said they had some left ready to go. And they checked the sizes. They just didn't have my size, and then they said they're shipping the rest. So there is a reason for it, but it is a shame because you see all the other clubs, 75% off end of season clearance, and we don't get it. It's really frustrating.
We did a couple of years ago, because I remember I picked up the, this was like 2011, 2012. It was when they did a concourse sale, and my dad was at the Amex, and he picked me up one of the green and black away shirts. They only had long sleeve left, and it was like a fiver. And I was like, Dad.
That was amazing. I remember going, they were selling loads of the players' training stuff as well. And I went in there and picked up a Craig McHale Smith training shirt with 12 on the front for like £12, £15. It was like, yeah, this is so good.
let's talk about training gear, if we may, Harry. And I don't know if this is a sort of an area that you've got expertise in or not, but For my sort of view on it is training gear, as much as shirts almost, is becoming a really sought after item, especially mid layers like this, you know, having those training mid layers, they just go so quick. What's your thought on like how that sort of is creeping into sort of like the how what people want it. You know, people see the training gear, people see that, and they just need to have it.
Yeah, well, it's one of those ones that it sort of came out of nowhere. Like, when I started, it wasn't a thing. Like, I'd get training gear sometimes, it would be a nightmare to shift. Like, it would just be, you'd get stuck with it for ages. But, like, I remember earlier this year, I think it was this season, there's the tracksuit tops, long-sleeve tracksuit, quarter zip. I've got one somewhere, but I think it's in the wash, with the grey sleeves. And they sold out in the store in minutes. Like, it was just, it was ridiculous. And actually, my favourite piece of Brighton anything I've got is training wear, and I've got it here as well, is this playoff, player-worn, second division playoff at the Millennium Stadium.
Oh, that's beautiful.
Worn by the staff, and... This cost me, I think, maybe £5-10 on eBay. And then on the back, it's got the massive error. And this is what I wear to game every week. And it is something that, yeah, wasn't a big thing before. And what it means is actually training stuff from the 90s now cost a fortune. Because if you think about the limited run of Brighton shirts that were sold in the 90s, and then think about how limited the amount of training Brighton stuff that I don't even, most of it you probably couldn't even buy. They did a few jumpers and jackets. You see some of the old Buchter jackets of the sleeves. But yeah, it's, I think it's also in a lot of cases more wearable than a shirt. You know, if you've got a jacket or a jumper, you can wear that in a more, not formal, that's not the right word because it's not formal, but it's less dressed down than wearing an actual shirt that the players would wear. So I think, yeah, it fits with fashion. So people are turning to that.
Yeah, I'm just looking at the moment. I was just looking on classic football shirts. There's a 2002 to 04 Brighton player issue, a rare training shirt with skint on the front, number 3, whoever that was, in Jerry excellent Mayo. Condition, £80.
Let's have a look.
£80. Yeah.
That crazy. Just Harry just shared that jumper there, and actually I've got a very similar one. It is when we had the Palookaville sponsor, so it's got the skin across the front, it's got the seagull on the, and on the back it's got Palookaville. And the amount that they go for, like on eBay, is like 3 figures. I think I picked mine up for £20.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's just mad. And it's like we talk about the mid layers. I remember when the club released the Hyper Turk lot this year, I was umming and ahhing about it because I was like, oh, do I need another mid layer? I've already got 3. Do I need another one? Because like I used to wear them for winter running, and then dad life happened. But like I was like, oh yeah, you know, mid layers are awesome. I'd love to get a Hyperturk mid layer, but I'll just hold off a little bit. And boy, do I regret that decision now.
Well, it's actually because of you, Tom, that I remember a while ago you tagged me in a post where someone was selling a load of Brighton training gear, and I bought it all, and I mean all of it. And I bought it for like 70 for all of it.
I think I know the load of stuff you bought.
Yeah, yeah. I bought like track suits and things like that and all this other stuff. And it's just cool to have.
Yeah, yeah it is.
But also, the weirdest thing, right? I've been watching this for ages and I've been trying not to buy it, but it's this Junior Seagulls jumper from like 94, right?
Yeah,
I don't need it. Doesn't fit me at all. It would fit my arm probably, but it's just a cool little item, and I've been trying not to buy it. So
I do that. I often buy like knickknacks and thingamajigs and thingamabobs. I've been into like pennants recently. They're the things I usually hang off the side. I bought a couple of those recently. They've been really cool. But it's like you say, Harry, like, you know, this stuff from the 90s is just, it's quite fantastic, really. So keeping it with Brighton then, Harry, and taking it back to football shirts, as it were, you said in your collection, you've been looking for the rarities, the match worns, the things that are really quite special. What is the most special Brighton piece in your collection at the moment?
So obviously that Murray, just the fact that it's a one of one, like there's not, and then this one because of the sentimental value. But I think one of the ones I like the most is the player we talked about earlier. I've got a match worn and signed Rowan Ince from 20. So I think it was the year Lingard was there. So it's the with the yellow.
Yeah,
the yellow
2013, 2014.
Yeah, so I've got Rowan Ince, one of those signed. I really love that one. And I've got a Dean Cox, which is a funny one because it's a long-sleeve Dean Cox shirt signed by him. And the funny thing is, it was back when all the players got 2XL. Like, all the shirts for the players were 2XL. And he got a large. And he's still massive.
Dean Cox was only little.
Yeah. But if he had been in a 2XL, he would have been absolutely drowned. So, yeah, that one's pretty cool. And then the other one, I'll send you guys a photo afterwards, but I have the all-yellow skin, which I think 2004 or 2003-05, with the big seagull across the front. I've got that match-worn by Gary Hart, signed by loads of players. And, again, it was a one-off, so it's got like this little charity thing under the number. So that one's pretty special as well. So I think, and just the signatures, because it's all yellow shirt with the black sponsor, black signatures. It looks really nice.
If there was one thing you could have in your collection, what would it be? Like, it could be completely made up.
83 final match worn shirt. It's not going to happen. Is even getting an 83 home shirt in good condition in the adult size near impossible and will cost you a fortune. I also remember, I don't know if you guys saw this on eBay. I don't know if you guys know him, Phil, who owns old football shirts.
Yeah, old football shirts. Yeah, he bought that. I was bidding on that. And I was glad it went to him because it completed his collection. But yeah, that was being sold on Twitter for like half that price. And I was gutted I missed out on that because my goal is to try and get every home shirt from 1979. And I'm missing two. And one of them is that.
Yeah, so that and he also sold an away version of the 83, which was worn by John Fashnu. Can't remember. It went for silly money, and you could never buy the away 83. It's red with the white. That would be pretty much. But again, I'm not spending over a grand on a football shirt. I can't bring myself to do it for it to collect dust. If I found one cheap on Facebook or
what's the most you'd pay?
For a Brighton 83 in good condition in my size, I'd pay 500. But it's like I say that I've never seen one. Like I've seen them listed at 500, but they've got damage. They're small. It's one of those things. The most I've spent on a shirt for myself is about 200. I have England 1990 home away, both in long sleeve. They cost about 200 each. You couldn't ever buy the third shirt in long sleeve, but I do have this.
You're just flexing on us, yeah. Just flexing.
I do have a template of the shirt in long sleeve, and I have a badge that I'm going to add on. I have a DIY version of it because
that's decent.
Unless you buy a match issue, and I think only worn twice in competitive games, and a few of the players wore long sleeves, so that's never happening. So that's the closest thing. But yes.
Fair play.
What I would just give to have to find a nice skint shirt where the skint is not like torn up and sticky and
the wrong blue shirts were awful for that. They were terrible for it.
The Argentina
wrong blue. They were terrible for it. Absolutely terrible. My sponsor peeling's like similar to that, Joe. Probably maybe even a little bit worse actually. But you can get
someone to replace it now though. There's a few people that will do a really good job. We'll create the print, reapply it, and it would be good as new. And yes, it's not an original print, but it's the same thing. But yeah, those were terrible for it. Like just all, yeah, they'd all just come off. It's rubbish. And you know, the Donatello on the back of the neck, that would always come off and smudge everywhere. It's so annoying.
Because the amount of times I've got a shirt through the post and it's folded up and I pull it apart and it's sticking together and it frustrates the bugger out of me.
I've got a box up there of about 40 Burnley shirts that I bought and all of them are like that. So they've just been sat there because all the sponsors are stuck and I don't even know what to do with them.
Oh, mate. I mean, talking of random shirt things, Joe, I don't know what your shirt behind you, your Super League 1998-99 shirt is like, but a lot of the ones I see, the badge, the sewing on the badge, it over time, it's sort of like crumples together like that. And I've seen it on a couple of other Super League shirts as well, where like the badge just sort of like folds in on itself. Yours is in pretty good nick, Joe. Yeah, so a lot of them I've seen, not even just with Brighton. I think Plymouth, Argyle had a similar shirt to us.
Super League,
to us. There is almost exactly the same. So that's a bit of a bugbear from any Super League shirts. Oh, look at us talking about shirts. Oh, it's the best evening ever. Living my best life.
This one is for you, Tom.
Yeah, it was when Harry was like, oh, I'm not going to pay X amount. I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, guys, I've got one Klopp shop on. Tom was like, really?
Let's talk about football shirts. So I don't know, Harry, if you noticed Tom's face when you were talking about the 1983 shirts, but Tom's got one.
Do you want me to go get it?
Yeah, let's have a look.
I'll go get it. It's match worn as well.
Wow.
2 seconds.
You can edit
this bit out.
It's not from the final, I will say that.
No, it's not a final shirt.
It's from the season after.
Because that has got the embroidery then, like FA Cup finalist embroidery.
I believe so, yeah. Hans Kray Jr., I think it's match worn by.
I feel like I saw it online before.
Yeah.
It's so funny how everybody's always bidding on the same shirts in the community.
It's because there's so little of them.
Yeah, exactly. Especially with Brighton, where we had a very small fan base in the 80s and 90s, and now and it's an affluent part of the country, so the people that want them have money, and that naturally drives. You look at the other South Coast, Bournemouth 90s and 80s shirts cost a fortune. Similar thing. Brentford now is very expensive. I just sold a Brentford shirt the other day for a lot of money. Southampton, if you go back to the 80s, really expensive. And it's all the same thing. Affluent part of the country, small fan base before, much bigger now. So.
Go on, show it off. Come on.
Yeah, that is that, and that looks like in really good nick as well. To be honest,
yeah. So you can see the sewing, so it's for match official, and this is worn by Hans Kray Jr. in the 83. I'm told that he had a big head, so they had to give him the old snip in the things there. But that
had to give him the snip.
Yeah, that was probably poor wording. But no, that's probably like these two are the jewels of my collection, being match worn so old.
Harry, I've got a question. We are hotly anticipating the new Brighton shirt because they always seem to release it so bloody late.
Yeah, we're the latest club in England all the time. I don't know why. I think they don't understand. They're not involved. They're not bothered by it. Like,
so frustrating.
Clubs. Yeah.
I actually think it's because we've done it for so long. They're now like, I'll just let them wait. They're used to it. So.
Also, literally. I know we had our best season ever. This season's shirt was rubbish for me. I know people have grown it, but like, I didn't get the design. It wasn't very bright, and it looked like a training shirt to me, which is a shame for our best ever season.
I was in the camp of liking it when it came out, and to be honest, the more it's gone on, it's grown on me. I think it. When you have a great season in a shirt that people don't really like, it grows on you even more. And it's like when you see that shirt, you're going to be like, yeah, that's the goal that Pascal scored or, you know, stuff like that. So that's why I love football shirts as well, because it could be ghastly. It could be absolutely awful. But you're like, I love it because of this happened in it. And that's the thing that football, you know, brings.
But I find a lot of shirts, like later on, you're like, oh, do you remember that horrible old kit? And then it's like worth like stupid amounts of money. Like, you know, like, you know, the orange shirt with the black stripe? Like,
I'm actually looking at that right now.
That's kind of divisive. But I kind of like it because it's quite ugly. So
it's the shirt that I associate with Paddy McCourt. I see that shirt and I think of the Dele Pele. He was a ridiculous, ridiculous man. But
I also think. My issue with this year's shirt is last year's for me is the best set in a long time with the Hyper Turk and the pinstripes. Like, to go from that to the red one that was not the right red for Brighton, like it didn't have enough black like these ones. It just, so I feel like that next to what we had last year made it feel worse than it was.
The away shirt last season is awful, absolutely terrible. I really don't like it.
Well, the Hyper,
Hyper Turk, beautiful, the crimson one, crap.
The last season is still crimson's terrible.
I've got a question for you, mate. You know about kits. If you could choose a kit manufacturer to go with,
Adidas.
Yeah,
because what they would do is do homages to the 80s stuff. The only other one would be Kappa, but it's never going to happen. They don't really do English teams. They don't really do mainstream teams like. I feel like if they were going to do an English team, Brighton is right up Kappa Street. Like, but it just, I can't see it happening.
Who's your favourite manufacturer?
Depends on the era. 90s is Kappa. Like, for instance, I've got this the other day. It's City, we don't like, but just, like, look at those sleeves. Like, you just, it's iconic. I think overall, probably Adidas. But, yeah, there's, like, I really like, I sell a lot of Japanese stuff. Like, one of my biggest sources in Japan. And a lot of the 90s Japanese stuff was produced by Mizuno. So I'm a real big fan of Mizuno. I think they, if you, in terms of wacky designs, they were way ahead of everyone. I know Umbro and Adidas did a lot of crazy goalkeeper shirts in the 90s, but if you go and look at the J-League stuff, a lot of it you can't even find, but it's just wild designs. But yeah, I think Adidas, they do it the best overall. But, and now in modern, it changes. It's clear who the worst is, and that's Puma. Don't want Puma anywhere near Brighton. You remember those weird ones they did that looked like training shirts that had the team name in that? I don't want it at anywhere near us.
I remember, was it the 2016 Euros where they were so, so poorly made and they were getting ripped left, right and centre on the pitch? They're like carrier bags.
Yeah. And I think Nike play it safe too much. They got a lot of like templates they like and they use them for everyone. So I think yeah,
Have you seen Canada's template this year?
No, I've not seen it. Has they got a new one? Because they had a really nice red black shirt.
Don't look at it. It's awful. If we get that template, I quit.
I have to have a look. Because that's the other thing. Because I am more with the vintage stuff. I do have modern stuff time to time. But I'd miss a lot of the new releases. But actually saying that I prefer Adidas, if you look at the best modern kits, and I'd say in the last 5-10 years, I'd say Nike win. If you look at Roma, for instance, and Inter Milan, who have had some really amazingly beautiful modern shirts, they're all Nike. Although I think Roma this year, I don't know if they've officially released it, but I've seen a leak. Roma's new Adidas shirt is amazing, really beautiful. But yes, and our deal was either up this summer or next summer with Nike. So
Love it to be up this summer. I would love it. I would love to move away from Nike. I just find their shirts so dull. You mean you mentioned last season shirt.
Yeah.
It was the best Nike shirt we've ever had. And we've been with Nike for a long time now. And most of their shirts, in my opinion, have been awful. Like the
red genuinely and black, awful. Red and black, is it 14-15 or 15-16? That red and black,
the away
that was
shirt.
Right. Yeah, the away shirt. That was okay. Great.
It was the sponsor panel. It was just iron
weird.
On.
Yeah, weird sponsor. But the shirt itself was great.
I don't know who does like the Venezia shirts, but
that's Kappa.
How beautiful. Their shirts are so impeccable every time. Every time.
They also do Vasco da Gama in Brazil, who have some amazing shirts. They do this Greek team whose name I can never remember, and they do Bari in Italy, whose shirts are absolutely sensational. But they just don't touch English football, really. And when they do a bad job, generally.
I think we should get Admiral back, because I bloody love Admiral shirts.
Seen any of the modern Admiral shirts? Not good.
No. Not, but if they, could...
they do the lower league English stuff, and it's not great.
That makes me very sad, because I say in the 90s...
Would you take Araya back?
Yeah. In a heartbeat, love Era. They do the centenary shirt. I've got that on the wall. That was one of the best ever. And I actually really like this Skint sponsor where it was in the theory, and it was like the block capitals. Like the Skint was like really blocky and sort of part of the shirt.
2004, I want to say.
Yeah, that sponsor. That's one of my favourite Brighton shirts ever. And they're big on Essential Badge. I'm a big fan of Essential Crest. I think don't see it enough anymore.
I've come around to it, actually. I used to really dislike it, but seeing it on a shirt like that, where it all just fits really organically, it just looks great.
I think it depends on the shirt's design, doesn't it? I think, you know, that it has to be, you know, aesthetically pleasing. And some, depending on your sponsor, I don't know if it would work with an American Express sponsor, because I think American Express, from what I've heard, are quite selective about what you can do with
a sponsor. Is such a letdown.
Amex would be so much better. Block letters, Amex. Everyone would know what it is. Everyone would still know it's American Express. But yes, American Express sponsor is tacky.
It's such a hard thing to deal with on a design basis, because I don't know if you know, Harry, but I do a lot of concept shirts online.
I've seen your stuff on Twitter. I've seen your recent ones. They're good.
It's so impossible to integrate it without it looking like a panel. Do you remember the panels from like 14 through to 17, I think it was? And it just looks so like...
You got to do the break sort of thing like this where the...
Yeah,
stripe stop.
And that's where you get the big H on our shirts because of that block. So yeah. You had like even like the square, the American Express square that's on the back of I think our 13-14 shirt.
Yeah, stick that.
Why not just have that on the front?
Yeah, like Dortmund have a square sponsor. Yeah. I'm similar to that. Yeah, that would work.
Hmm.
Yeah. Again, I think we have a club that doesn't care about kids.
I should go and work for the club. I'll just walk in there and be like, I work here now. Just
I work here now. These are my designs. I'm going to take over now.
I made these and posted them on Twitter. People told me they're really good. So.
Very good. Right, gentlemen, I feel like we could probably sit here and talk about football shirts all night, and I'd love that. But I think... I think the viewers and listeners might be like, okay, then you need it's time to stop.
Imagine that, a 24-hour long podcast just talking about football shirts. I am there for it.
Talking about every shirt from the 70s onwards. Basically.
We'll talk about every stitch in every shirt.
Yes, I would be here for that. I really would. That's my jam.
But Harry, where can people find your shop and where can people find you online?
So if you search One Clock Shop on Twitter and Instagram, and the website is oneclockshop.com. I also sell on eBay a lot more now. Every 2 weeks or so, I'll auction a bunch of shirts with no reserve, 99p start. So good opportunity to. And I do also offer a sourcing service generally for Brighton stuff. It's not very easy at the moment, like I said, with the market. But yeah, it's always happy to point people in the right direction. I do sell shirts, but I also... I'm a fan of shirts, and if you're looking for something specific and I don't have, I'll be happy to point you to someone I know, or you know, send you a link for a shirt. So yeah, One Clock Shop on Twitter and Instagram.
Top man. We'll also put it in the description below, so any listeners that want to check out some football shirt content, do feel free to head over to Harry's One Clock Shop. It's really good stuff.
It certainly is. Thank you ever so much, Harry, for joining us this evening and for listening to us talk about football shirts. It has been a true delight. Seriously, it has been a really cool evening. Don't forget that, listeners and viewers, drop some comments down below. Let us know your favorite shirts. Let us know your favorite manufacturers. Let us know what you want in the future from Brighton and Hove Albion. And what are your favorite shirts in all time as well? I really, really like the Ajax kit from the early 90s, the one that's just a bit like a shit show. It's got like the blue bits there, and it's got the red bits there, and it's like one of the most quintessentially 90s shirts you'll ever see. God, the early 90s were great.
My one's actually a Brighton kit. It's like a blue and gold goalkeeper kit. I've showed you, I bought this recently. It's got the Coca-Cola badge on the arm. It's long sleeve. It's beautiful. I'm like in love with that shirt. Fantastic. I bought it from America, so which was strange.
My all-time favourite is the one I showed you guys earlier, the centralised badge with the lovely skint sewn in from 2002 to 2004. Beautiful shirt.
I can't pick a best, but one that's not Brighton that's right up there is Real Betis 96, 97, I believe, is Kappa, and it's iconic design. Not one I've ever actually had in, but it's just one of those shirts that when you get into your shirt collecting, everyone knows about it, so that's a really cool one.
So there you go, guys. There are some of the shirts that we love. Let us know in the comments below what you love. And check out One Clock Shop for more awesome football shirt-related shenanigans. But in the meantime, don't forget to like, share, and subscribe for more content if you haven't done so already, wherever you may be, whenever you may be. We'll see you again next time. Take care.